So the epistle for the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost is taken from Philippians chapter 1. Brethren, we are confident in the Lord Jesus that he who hath begun a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. As it is meet for me to think this for you all, for that I have you in my heart and that in my bands in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, you are all partakers of my joy. For God is my witness, how I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. And this I pray, that your charity may more and more abound in knowledge and in all understanding, that you may approve the better things, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of justice through Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The gospel is taken from Matthew chapter 22. At that time, the Pharisees went and consulted among themselves how to ensnare Jesus in his speech. And they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, we know that thou art a true speaker and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou dost not regard the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what dost thou think? Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar or not? But Jesus, knowing their wickedness, said, Why do you tempt me, ye hypocrites? Show me the coin of tribute. And they offered him a penny. And Jesus saith to them, Whose image and inscription is this? They say to him, Caesar's. Then he saith to them, Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. Please be seated. Render to God the things that are God's. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Well, we see in the gospel account how the Pharisees tried to trap our Lord by his words, by asking him if it was proper for them to give tribute to Caesar, to the government. And so by trying to trap him, they're trying to make the people not believe in our Lord Jesus Christ, and seeing that he is the true Messiah. And so that's why our Lord, knowing full well what they were trying to do, and so he sees the wickedness that they have in their hearts, and so he asked them, he said, okay, fine, show me the coin, show me the tribute, and then whose image is on that? And so therefore they had to answer that it is Caesar's. And so that's why he tells them, then render to Caesar what is Caesar's, render to God what is God. Obviously, we know all things belong to God. And so that is where then it is a good reflection for us to look at the positive aspect of this. And by the positive aspect, then it is the virtue of religion. And what is the virtue of religion and how does it apply to each and every one of us? Just in my day of recollection that I had on Friday, I was reading The Spiritual Life by the Archbishop. And in that, I just read about the virtue of religion, hence the inspiration for this sermon. And so we know that the virtue of religion follows alongside of justice. That is one of the virtues that is related to justice. Another is obedience. And so for us, we look at justice as what impels us to fulfill our duties toward God and toward our neighbor. And so therefore, then when we look at the virtue of religion specifically, it is this virtue by which we render to God the worship that is due to him. And so certainly, as I mentioned to you, with All Saints' Day coming up, it is a holy day of obligation, that we have that obligation to give that time to Almighty God. Granted, you may have to work, but we still owe that time to God. It is an obligation for every single one of us. Just as with Sundays, we are meant to give the time to God. And so that is where when we look at what is due to him, well, then we can break it up into three different acts. So these acts of the virtue of religion. The first act is devotion. and we think about the term being devout, you know, we think of someone as being devout. We think of them as being holy. And that being devout comes from devotion, obviously. We devote ourselves to Almighty God. And so that is something for us to consider and to think about. That truly we know we are subject to God. We are subject to His commandments. We are subject to His laws. And that is where then we need to try to fulfill that in our daily lives. And so we say that devotion is nothing else but the will to give oneself readily to things concerning the service of God, a total dedication to God. And so that's the reminder then when we look at our daily lives. We are meant to give that to God. That's why we make our morning offering in the morning. We try to give God our day, everything of our day. But it's a reminder to us throughout the day also that we have these many opportunities to try to be devoted to God. This total dedication to Him. That we see how our actions are affected. We affect our eternity, we can say. The things that we do will have then an effect on our eternity. Whether they're actions that are pleasing to God, moral actions that are pleasing to God. Or then we can say that's the actions that are not pleasing to Almighty God. And to then to what extent? Are they venially not pleasing to God or mortally? And so therefore, then it will affect our eternity from that. And so that's where it's not just the external, but there also has to be the internal. The interior, we can say, attitude toward God, of the soul toward God. And truly, that is what is important for us. Interiorly, how are we before the eyes of God? That's why our Lord said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So it's not just the externals, because you can have people who show themselves externally to be following God, then we know internally they are not. That is why our Lord, you know, talked to the Pharisees about being hypocrites or whited sepulchres. On the outside, they look all good. But on the inside, they're containing a rotting body. And so he likened that to their soul. And so, yes, you can have people that externally show that they are religious or devout or holy. But God reads the souls and the inside of each of us. He knows how we truly are. And so he knows that. He knows what they're really like. And so granted, yes, we can fool people, we can fool the people around us, but we'll never be able to fool Almighty God. So that is why it's so important for us to understand the interior disposition or, way that we need to be. And certainly then it should, the interior should mirror the exterior. But not always is it the other way around. The exterior doesn't always mirror the interior. Because yes, we can be hypocritical in our actions. So as I say, this devotion that we have to God is the first act of the virtue of religion. This total dedication to Almighty God. The second act that St. Thomas brings out is prayer or oratio. So again, by praying, man surrenders his mind to God since he subjects it to him with reverence. And so we see with the virtue of religion and how our life is meant to give honor and glory to God, what is due to Him. Well, yes, it reflects also our prayer life, the spiritual life that we have, or that we're meant to have. And so we know when we think about trying to pray, we place ourselves in the presence of God, especially those of you that have been on an Ignatian retreat. You know, as you try to do the meditations, which obviously is mental prayer, that you place yourselves in the presence of God to start your meditation, that you think about God. And then from the meditation, yes, you ask for graces, you consider certain things of the spiritual life, your own soul. I mean, that's what we do when we are meant to pray. Yes, we can have our distractions, we can have our difficulties. Maybe you consider the family rosary a very hard time. Kids are having a hard time staying focused. You're trying to keep them focused. You can't remember what decade you're on at the end of it. Yes, those things will happen to us. But again, God sees the intentions that we have. We try to pray our family rosary. And again, a reminder, this month of October, the month of the Holy Rosary. We make those attempts. God sees the effort that we make. So again, that is why then when we try to start our prayers, we have to try to formulate in our mind what we are doing. That yes, we place ourselves in the presence of God. And that is why it's good to come a bit early for Mass, to prepare for this prayer, the greatest prayer. To recollect ourselves, to try to then try to gain the graces from God, or prepare yourself for confession. You place yourselves in the presence of God because God is sacramentally present for us. I mean, what a great grace we have to be able to come and know that God is here for us. And so that's where by praying, yes, we surrender our mind to God. Because then we think of the things of God. And so, yes, it is, in a way, we can say an attitude of subjection by placing ourselves in the presence of God, that we know we are nothing before the eyes of God. But we also know that God is listening to us. God hears us. And so as we pray, as we ask these things from God, God hears us. And granted, maybe he won't grant the things then and there for us. It requires maybe some perseverance by us. But it's a good reminder to us as we come into the church of knowing that we are in the presence of God. And that's why it should help us then to be able to pray better. Because there should be less distractions for you than, say, in our home. And so that's why I encourage you to try to come to Mass a few minutes early so that you can try to recollect yourself for that. Something for us to work on. And so then finally, the third act in the virtue of religion is one of adoration. To adore God. So again, it is an interior disposition or reverence before God, that he is our all, he's our creator, he's our redeemer. He has given us life. And so that adoration that we should have to God. And so again, St. Thomas talks about there needs to be an adoration that is interior and exterior. Again, we can come into the church, we can genuflect, we can pray, and we can show that exterior adoration that we have for Almighty God. But then again, it comes back to the fact of what is on the inside for us. That's why our Lord had said, you know, their lips move, but their heart is far from me. He was speaking of the lack of interior adoration toward him. And so that is where then a reflection for us, as I say, when we think about this famous render to Caesar's what is Caesar's, renders to God what is God's. I mean, yes, we can look at, in a sense, a negative side to it, avoiding the things that will be displeasing to God, but then also to look at the positive aspect of that. And this positive aspect comes out to us every Sunday, certainly, every holy day of obligation. But then for us, because we are Catholic, it's every day of our life. We owe to God what is due to Him because He is our Creator, because He is our Redeemer, because He has given us everything. Like I said, He has given us life, and not only does He give us life, He sustains our life. God could end it at any moment. But He gives us, in a sense, another day to serve Him. And then that reflection comes to us, did we serve Him? And so let us keep these things in mind. As I say, I mean, it's a famous gospel account of how they tried to trap our Lord. I mean, how can you trap God? God knows all things. He knows their heart. And that's what He even says to them. I mean, He even says to them, you know, why are you basically trying to trap me, you wicked people, you hypocrites? And so He sees all things. God knows all things. And so that's why I say, yes, we can fool maybe the people around us, but we can't fool God. And so therefore, that's why we have that obligation to have our interior mirror our exterior. To be truly holy. To be devout, that devotion that we talked about at the very first part. And remembering that this virtue of religion, yes, it is the honor and glory that is due to God, and it comes out in three acts. Devotion, our prayer life, and then obviously adoration. So St. Thomas then ends it by talking about that the greatest act that we offer to God is sacrifice. I mean, that's what we say, the sacrifice of one's life in the service of God. It is the greatest vocation that we can give to God. Well, then we think about sacrifice itself and what we owe to God. And that is where he brings back in the fact that the most perfect prayer that we have is the holy sacrifice of the Mass. That is the greatest prayer that we can unite and offer to Almighty God. So reflect upon that, especially as you attend Sunday Mass, holy days of obligation, the effort that you make to make sure that you can attend, because it is the greatest prayer that we can give to God. And that's why I say, that's why it's so important for us to realize we should try to come here early enough to be able to recollect ourselves, offer ourselves, prepare ourselves. You know, we think about the oblation that the priest offers. He's offering that in union with all of you. And that you are meant to truly offer yourself in oblation. I mean, that is why you have many of the saints talk about how beautiful the Mass is. I mean, you think of Padre Pio. I mean, you think of the Archbishop himself. And that's why he told, you know, the seminarians and different things. He said, when a priest has offered his Mass, he has completed 80% of his day. That shows how important the holy sacrifice of the Mass is in the life of a priest, in the life of us all. And so reflect on these positive aspects of this virtue of religion. of what we owe to God. And therefore, how important it is for us to give that to God. And that needs to be our reflection today. Have we truly rendered to God what is God's? In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.